Congregation, the scripture reading this evening is from John chapter 19. John chapter 19. And I announced verses 17 through 24, but let's start reading at verse 13. John 19, we'll start reading at verse 13. And we'll read through the end of verse 24. And there we read God's word. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour, and he saith unto the Jews, Behold your king. But they cried out, Away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, We have no king but Caesar. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him, and two other with him on either side, one, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city. And it was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, Write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am King of the Jews. Pilate answered, What I have written, I have written. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, Let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, They parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did. So far the reading of God's holy word. The text for the sermon is formed by the verses 23 and 24, the verses we just read. Beloved congregation, it was not an easy task for the apostles to preach that their hope was upon the Lord Jesus Christ and him crucified. We are very used to that. But that was an anomaly in those days, because the cross was something terrible. It was the most shameful way to be put to death. A Roman citizen was not allowed to be crucified. Slaves will be crucified. And then to say that those early Christians put their trust in one who was crucified was awful. And people thought it was kind of strange. Something else must have taken place that Jesus of Nazareth was crucified. And John the apostle had heard these comments. He was the last of the Gospels to be written. And it's especially the gospel according to John that repeatedly states and lets Pilate, I believe, five times at least state, he is innocent. So John, under inspiration of God's Spirit, shows that the Lord Jesus was innocently condemned to death, and that Pilate could not find any reason to have him crucified. It was only after those Jews cried out, he made himself king, he made himself the Son of God. And then Pilate interrogated the Lord Jesus further, but the Lord Jesus gave him no answer. And then the Lord Jesus explained, my kingdom is not of this world. Otherwise, my servants would have fought for me. And then Pilate is convinced he's innocent. He wants to let him go. But the Jews are in a frenzy. He must be killed. And then when Pilate hears the Jews say, if you let him live, then you are letting someone live who makes him a king, and then you're no longer a friend of Caesar. And then that term, friend of Caesar, would be someone who supported Caesar. And if you were not a friend of Caesar, you would not support Caesar. And that could be very dangerous for you if you had that brand put upon you. So then Pilate officially declares Jesus to be put to death. And the accusation is, behold your king. Because there it says in slow motion that Pilate brought Jesus forth in verse 13. He sat down in the judgment seat in a place that's called the pavement, in Hebrew, Gabbatha. That's the location. And then the time, it was the preparation of the Passover. It was about the sixth hour. And then he speaks from his official throne as judge. And the verdict is, behold your king. And then they cried out, away with him. Shall I crucify your king? And then the priests say, we have no king but Caesar. And then Pilate delivered Jesus up to be crucified. He's being condemned to death. Why was the Lord Jesus condemned to death? Because we deserve to be condemned to death. Because we have committed high treason against God our Maker. The Lord Jesus had been whipped and scourged. Why was he whipped and scourged? Because of our rebellion against God, deserve to be thrashed. And then the Lord Jesus bore the burden of that cross upon his back, so that man could be delivered from that unbearable burden of guilt, so that he could remove that burden of guilt, and that we could bear his yoke, which is easy, and his burden, which is light, that we could bear that behind him. And then his hands and feet were nailed to the cross. Because otherwise our hands and feet had to be bound hand and foot and to be cast into outer darkness. And while Jesus has his feet nailed to the cross, he is at the same time busy trampling and crushing Satan's head. The soldiers have crucified the Lord Jesus. They placed a sign above his head. Because you know that was a custom in those days. They would put a sign above their head, and the place where they would crucify would be close to the entrance of the city, alongside one of the main routes into the city, and then everyone could read the accusation. Well, this was the accusation. Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. Pilate wants to mock those Jews. Okay, you Jews, here is your king. And the Jews hurry off. They feel the mockery. Don't write, he is king, but that he made himself to be king. What I have written, I have written. Because it's God himself who let Pilate write that on that sign. Because it's true. He is King of the Jews. And he still is today. The Jews are brought back in their own land, and we pray and hope for their conversion. We believe that will happen because the Lord Jesus is still King of the Jews. He's King of all his people, King of his kingdom. But now Jesus is nailed to the cross. The soldiers have done their work, and now they just have to keep watch to see that there are no irregularities and that they wait for hours until those three men who are on the cross will slowly die. And then they've done their work. But just before his crucifixion, something happened to the Lord Jesus. This is again another aspect, every aspect of the sufferings of the Lord Jesus has a different perspective, a different proclamation. That's why everything is in slow motion, detailed, presented to us. Now we have the clothes. It was the custom in those days that those who were crucified, their clothes would be removed. It doesn't say that that happened to the thieves on the cross, but it happened to them too. It happened to everyone. But it's deliberately spoken of the Lord Jesus that his clothes were removed. And this is so important, it's being recorded by all four Gospels. John knew already that Matthew, Mark, and Luke had written this, but he wants it to be written again because it's so important. There's a preaching connected to it. So we read the words of our text, John 19:23-24. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat, that's his inner garment, was without seam, woven from the top throughout. And they said therefore among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did. So we see here Jesus' garments removed. He has no rights, no honor, and no covering. Jesus' garments removed. He has no rights, no honor, and no covering. In those days, crucifixion would take place by four soldiers with a centurion as a commander. And it was the custom that those four soldiers could keep the clothes of those whom were crucified. Clothes were more precious and more special and more not so common as we have now. The people had clothes, but by far not as many as we have today. You could make money off those clothes. And so the soldiers were allowed to keep the clothes of those who were crucified. So they took the outer garment of the Lord Jesus and they ripped that in four pieces. And every soldier received a piece. But then they saw his undergarment. And that was woven in one piece. And they didn't want to tear that to pieces because then the value would be lost. So they decided to cast lots to see which of the four soldiers could keep it. And so we see here the horrendous reality that everything was taken from one who was crucified. Such a person had nothing left. The last thing he had, even his own clothes, were taken from him. He had no rights left whatsoever. He did not even have the right to wear clothes during his execution. He had no right to be anymore on earth. He was hanging between heaven and earth, naked, a spectacle for the people. Everyone could see him hanging there. And now the Lord Jesus was hanging there. He who had created the heavens and the earth was now hanging between heaven and earth. The earth did not want to bear him anymore, and heaven did not want to see him anymore either during his sufferings. He was in such shame because his people had behaved themselves so shamefully. You know, it's remarkable that the Lord Jesus had such a precious undergarment. This would have covered his body down to the knees. It had no seam. It was woven in one piece from top to the bottom. Now you should know that the Lord had determined in the laws of Moses that the high priest had to wear such a garment, woven without a seam, from top to the bottom. You can read that in Exodus 28. There in verse 32, we read a description of that high priestly garment. There shall be an hole in the top of it, in the midst thereof. It shall have a binding of woven work round about the whole of it, as it were the whole of an habergeon, that it be not rent. And here we see a similarity between the high priest of Israel and the Lord Jesus. He was clothed with a garment that the high priest was allowed to wear. Because the Lord Jesus was all along the high priest of his church, and he was going to work once and for all reconciliation for poor, guilty sinners. The Lord Jesus was born in Bethlehem. He was born in poverty. Joseph and Mary didn't even have a cradle. They used a feeding trough of animals. But at least he still had swaddling clothes then that Mary could wrap him in. But now on the cross, he wasn't even allowed to have his clothes. During his life on earth, the Lord Jesus said that foxes, they have their burrows, and birds have nests, but that the Son of Man does not even have a stone as a pillow to lay his head upon. But then still, he had his own clothes. But now even his clothes are removed from him. Now he has nothing left. He was poor at his birth, poorer as he traversed the land of Israel, and now he was poorer still. He had absolutely nothing left. He has no rights because we forfeited every right. You and I don't deserve anything. And then it becomes a miracle to receive so much while we deserve nothing. And that's why the Lord Jesus here has nothing, no rights. We lost those rights when we sinned against God. And that's why it were not only the hands of the Roman soldiers who took those garments from the Lord Jesus, it was the hand of God who wanted to have the garments removed from his son. It belonged to the punishment. And so the Lord Jesus heard the dice being cast. And he heard the soldiers conferring, "We shouldn't tear this one, let's gamble it." So they gambled away his precious garment. And here we see when the Lord Jesus has no rights left, that he is meriting grace for us. The Lord Jesus on the cross merited even our clothing. We're not even entitled to have clothing. Do we realize this? Do we realize that the Lord Jesus was hanging there naked in his shame because you and I have conducted ourselves shamefully? Have we already humbled ourselves before God because of this? Have we fallen on our knees with a confession, "Lord, I have caused thee all this shame. My sins have caused thee such shame"? Have you already confessed that you're not entitled to anything? Even our clothes have been merited by the crucifixion of Christ. Shall we remember that? In the forthcoming season of summer, that the Lord Jesus merited our clothing, that he was hanging in shame, so that we would be properly clothed. God gives us clothing to cover our shame. And when you realize this, you will be concerned what you are wearing, because the Lord, who merited your clothing, wants you to be dressed honorably. You should not expose yourself to others. You're not even allowed to do that. The Lord Jesus paid the price by hanging there naked on the cross so that you would be properly clothed. When we realize this, we will also be concerned that we come properly dressed, honorably dressed to God's house, because the Lord Jesus merited that. He became on the cross unspeakably poor because we have become so poor. And you will only see his wealth when you start to realize your own poverty. And therefore, ask much that the Lord would show you who you really are. That will keep you very humble. And that will give you high thoughts of that precious Savior unto whom we are called to look continually. The Lord Jesus had no rights, but he also had no honor. Because the soldiers took everything away from the Lord Jesus, his clothes, but also his honor. He has no honor left. Everything had to be removed from such a convicted one. Even the last thing he had, his clothes. And then he had no honor left. And here we see the Son of the Father, the Lord of Lords, the Governor of the universe, the Almighty God of God, Light of Light. He had nothing left, no honor left when he was hanging on the cross. The last thing he had were removed, his clothes. He was cast out of society. He had no honor. People didn't want him anymore. Although he had done nothing but good, although he had fed them, that he had healed their sick, he had preached the gospel of reconciliation to God, he had preached his glorious kingdom to them, but they didn't want him anymore. Away with him. He was cast out of society. He has no honor. And then his God didn't want to look at him anymore either. And then he was 3 hours in darkness on the cross, bearing our curse. He has no honor. Therefore, when you still have some sense of honor, you should turn your eyes away from him, because it was a horrendous and terrible event there on Calvary. Yes, we are to call to look unto Jesus. Lifted up on high on the cross, we are to look to him. But when we think of his honor is gone and that he is hanging there, then you turn your eyes away, because it's our fault, our shame, my shame, my dishonoring of God that is portrayed there on that terrible cross. The cross. When we think of the cross, we think of a nice, polished, smooth, varnished cross. But the cross is awful. In Nazareth village in Israel, you can see a cross. It's an awful thing. A crooked branch and then a crooked beam. Awful. And that's where they would nail a person to a thick branch, and then he would be lifted up. It was a terrible shame. It's like the gallows. That's why it was not easy for the disciples to preach a crucified Savior. And then the words were fulfilled, he hath no form, no comeliness. And when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. Who would have ever thought that he was the King of glory? There was none there on Golgotha, none who was watching, who would ever think that he was the glorious King, the Almighty King. It's no miracle that Mary and the other woman stood at a distance, because it's too painful, too shameful to watch. The Lord Jesus had no honor, because we fall short of the honor of God. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We have cast away God's image. We have cast away God's honor. We wanted to kill God, to be as God. That's why we deserve nothing. And yet God gave his Son for sinners as you and I are. How can it be that thou wouldst die for me? He is hanging there with no honor. Before the fall, clothing was not necessary. Adam and Eve, in the state of uprightness, had no clothing. There was no need for that. There was no sin, no shame, no embarrassment, nothing. He was pure. But after the fall, clothing was needed because of sin. Without a garment, man would now be in shame in our society, walking around with no clothes. That would be awful, shameful. Our society cannot function without clothing. If we would have no clothes, you would hide away right now out of shame. And so the Lord Jesus hung in shame for all the inquisitive eyes of that jeering multitude. But it had to be like this. That's the way God had planned it. Because we should have been there in shame, in nakedness. We deserve nothing. Peter and John were not allowed to cover him. Shem and Japheth were not allowed to place a garment upon the Lord Jesus like they did to their father Noah. But now Jesus, the Son of God, has become less than Noah. He now has to bear Noah's shame and the shame of all his descendants, because they had all behaved shamefully before God. Have you seen that you and I behave shamefully before God? Have we seen that? Is that a burden to us that we fall short, that we have spoiled the glory of God? And that's a criminal offense. Hiding God's glory is a criminal offense. That's why Moses was not allowed to enter Canaan, because he hid the glory of God by smiting the rock, as if he would do it instead of speaking to the rock and giving glory to God. Hiding God's glory is a shameful sin. How we need to pray. O Lord, place a watch before my lips and teach me to live according to thy will. For so soon you and I cover up the glory of God. That's shameful. Have you been uncovered to your shame? Do you realize that that's why the Lord Jesus is hanging there in shame upon the cross? And when you realize who you are, you become nauseated at yourself. Because you're grateful that other people don't know what's in your heart, but the Lord knows what's in your heart. And that's why he's hanging there in your and my shame. He knows us. And it's because of your shame, people of God, that the surety had to be hanging there without clothes in disgrace upon the cross. That's the only way how his church could be saved. The surety had to bear their shame. His honor had to be totally removed. And that's why those clothings were removed from him. That garment that was beautifully woven had to be taken from him. And you must realize that there was a garment that a high priest had to wear. and the garment was not allowed to be torn. The Lord led it this way, because the scriptures cannot be broken. The scripture must be fulfilled. And a high priest was never allowed to tear and to rip his clothes. That would be a disgrace to him. In Exodus 28, verse 32, the text we just quoted, there it says that it be not rent. It was not to be torn. The office of the high priest was a sign of reconciliation to God. It was a sign of joy, of life, of perspective upon everlasting life. It was to radiate the joy of reconciliation. And that's why a high priest was not allowed to tear his clothes as a sign of grief. And that's why the garment of the Lord Jesus was not torn, because he was the only high priest. And that shows at the same time the sin of Caiaphas after he shamefully interrogated the Lord Jesus. And with glee he thought he had found finally an accusation whereby they could put him to death. He has blasphemed the name of God. And this high priest, he tore his clothes. Shame on Caiaphas. He wasn't allowed to do that. And the Lord Jesus himself, he wept at times because of all the grief he saw. And he wept at the impenitence of Jerusalem. He wept like none other. He saw so much grief and sorrow, so much brokenness. So many people affected by the consequences of sin. They were his creatures. He had once created them perfect. He saw all that grief and sorrow, but he never tore his garments as a sign of grief. And even in his death, his garments were not rent, that one garment. And so the Lord Jesus was hanging there without honor, in disgrace, so that we could receive the honor of being received and welcomed by God, so that we could be broken by God's Spirit, and that we would come to Him confessing that we have no rights left, and that we are not worthy to be called Thy child anymore. And then to have the new robe of Christ's righteousness put upon us, and to be adopted as a child of God, that the sinner receives the honor to be able to live with God and to feel the shame of the sin he committed. And that sin becomes his greatest problem in life. Not the things of daily life, but sin. And so by the gracious operation of God's Spirit, those people start to hate all manner of sin, because it was sin that caused Christ to suffer. And so they humble themselves before him. And so the Lord Jesus had no rights, but he has also no covering. Because he's hanging on the cross without a covering. You see, it goes back to Genesis 3, verse 21. After the fall, Adam and his wife, the Lord made them coats of skins, and he clothed them. God gave man a covering for his nakedness. But when the Lord Jesus was on the cross, he had no covering left, no garment. For fallen man there was grace, but for Christ there was no grace. Because the Lord Jesus is here made to be sin. He had to bear the guilt of Adam and Eve. He had to bear the sins of all his people. These people deserve nothing anymore, and that's why Christ receives nothing. And now he has no covering against the holy anger of God. He is going to be forsaken of his God. He had to do without his God. Because the prophet Habakkuk had said, "Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and thou canst not look on iniquity." Habakkuk 1 verse 13. And those words were fulfilled now on the cross. Because the Lord Jesus will be engulfed in darkness, and his God forsook him. Didn't want to look at him. He turned his face from his own son. We hid, as it were, our faces from him, but God also hid his face from him. And then what about us? Are you still living for yourself? Are you still paying lip service to the Lord? You're in church now. I trust you're singing the psalters along, that you prayed along and you read scripture along, you're listening along. But how is it now in your life? How is it between the Lord and you? Is the Lord center stage in your life? Or is he at the periphery? You see, it's everything or nothing. The Lord wants your heart. Is your heart still shut for him? Are you focused upon other things? How do you expect to stand before a holy God who did not want to look at his own son because he was clothed with the sins of his people, the sins he never committed himself, and God did not look at him? What do you expect God to do with you in all your sins of all your youth and all your years? Do you expect God to look upon you? He will turn his face from you and say, "Go away from me, you who commit iniquity. But we were in thy presence. We ate and drank at thy table. We did miracles in thy sight. We even preached in thy sight. Depart from me, I never knew you." We would say, "Get out." If you're living without Christ, that's what the Lord will say to you. If he is not your surety, not your chief desire, not your chief delight, how will you be able to stand before God? If you love not the Lord Jesus Christ, you are anathema. That means you're cursed. And therefore, our clothes need to be removed here in this life. Not our physical clothes, but we have other clothes. And they have to be laid aside. The clothes of our pride. The clothes of our ungratefulness. The clothes of our murmuring. The clothes of our false rest. The clothes of our conceitedness. The clothes of our harshness. The clothes of our deceitful heart. All these clothes have to be removed from us. The fig leaves we are piecing together of self-righteousness, thinking that can stand before God. Those clothes have to go. Only a naked Christ on the cross can cover our shame and sin. This is the inexpressible grace we find here in this event for an uncovered guilty sinner. When you are smitten by God's Spirit and you see your guilt and you see your sin, although you won't see it to the full extent, but you see enough of it that makes you to cringe. What must you do? You must kneel before Him and lay your heart down before Him and confess your sins and to look. Yes, now we must look to this crucified Savior for our salvation. Because from the cross, He is calling you. Come now. Come. Don't stay away. Let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. They shall be red like crimson. Though they be red as crimson, they shall be as wool. And I will give you a new heart, and you will have a loathing of yourself because of all the sins you did. And I will pour love out in your heart, and you will have a new perspective, a new beginning in your life. And the Lord will enter your heart and soul, and that will make life worthwhile living, because He is in your you and you are in Him. That's union with Christ. And then you learn to love Him and to follow Him wherever He leads you. And that's why the Lord Jesus has His clothes removed. No covering for Him, so that there would be covering for you. The garments of salvation laid upon you, so that you would be clothed with white garments. For I counsel thee to buy of me white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. Revelation 3:18. He was found naked before God, so that you would never have to be found naked before God. Because of His nakedness, there is still a covering for guilty sinners. And then His poverty becomes your wealth. And the garment of righteousness is freely received. And that garment has been paid for by Christ on the cross. He paid everything. And the garment He gives is not too short. It's not too small. It covers all your sins. Oh, let us listen. And let us look. And let us not stay away. Whoever you are, whatever you've done in your life, flee to that cross and look to Him in His shame and confess, Lord, that's me in my shame. I need Thee. Can't you say that? Can't you pray those words? You who are standing aloof, you who don't dare come to the Lord's Supper for whatever reason it is, you who must confess you're unconverted, you who have nothing to say when the elders pay you a family visitation, and you wish it were different in your life, can't you say those words? Can't you go to the foot of the cross and lay your shame before Him and look to Him and wait there for Him? He will come. He will come. That's why He's hanging there with no covering, to be able to give you a covering that's matching for you. And you know it all had to happen because Psalm 22 had to be fulfilled, because the scriptures cannot be broken. Not one word that God has spoken will fall vain upon the earth. Not one word from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. And in Psalm 22 it said, "They part my garments among them, they cast lots upon my vesture." And that's why we read here in verse 24 that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, "They parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots." And John saw it all. He saw it all. He was an eye and ear witness. That's why he said, "These things, therefore, the soldiers did." Because Psalm 22 had to be fulfilled. Shall we then not humble ourselves before him? Shall we then not ask of him clothes to cover our shame? Clothes that are pleasing to him. Amen.